Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
My son was ordered to do a book report at the Destin Middle School in eighth grade, and he brought the book home, and his mother and I read the book, and it was filled with all kinds of nastiness. I'll spare you the details. And I said, wait a minute, we can't do this. Well, this boy's got to do this report. I said, well, he's not doing a report out of this. We'll choose a different book. You can't. That's the one. I said, okay. I thought, pastor in the community, I said, you know what, Rita, I'm not going to bring the whole church down there. This is us. This is our son. We're just going to go before the school board, and we're going to say, listen, this book needs to be, reviewed and taken off for this particular age group or whatever. And the news got a hold of it, and they said, preacher wants to ban the books. And I got ready to stand up. And I looked around that room, and there were teachers and people all over the place. And next thing I know, here's this book that, this is this and this and this. And they said, well, they looked at me with contempt, like, hurry up and get out of the way. And the more I stood there, the more I said, well, here's something. How about this? How about you read this book out loud in this room right now? We voted the book stays. Yay! I walked out of the room with my wife. I said, that'll be the last day that I go to a meeting and not bring the forces with me. Because the only thing people understand these days is when people get together and when the church gets together, something can. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the only reason why that this county is wet right now is because years ago they saw an opportunity. After Brother Lowry's health went down, this church right here kept this county dry for years and years and years. But when his health went down, they saw an opportunity. This is a time to pass this thing, because that Pace Assembly Church up there, along with Brother Fred's church, getting together saying, hey, we're going to hold this thing back because we want to be a community where it's not open. And now, whenever and wherever, Sunday, Wednesday, it makes no difference. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Christian people ain't saying nothing about all that kind of stuff, because you know what? I'm caught up in it. I don't have time to get involved in that. And little by little, we're watching the same thing happen right here that they put into law, and everybody in the town except for Daniel bent down and said, woe to the king, we worship the king. Daniel said, that ain't my God. Come on, somebody. Daniel said, that ain't my God. My God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to hurry through this, so get ready to write. Because this is the basis of Daniel's greatness. They said, this man has got an excellent spirit. This I want you to get in your spirit here tonight. Are you ready? First, here it is. He was a consistent individual. He had a consistent attitude. Wait a minute. Somebody's putting it on the screen there. You get ahead of me. Don't get ahead of me. Go back up there in TVville. Okay? What's the basis of the attitude? There it is. A consistent attitude, an excellent spirit lives on the inside of him. I don't have time to talk about all this, but I'm going to tell you, while Daniel's down in the lion's den, sleeping it off, the king stayed up all night long, the Bible says, in distress. He said, I'm going to fast and pray for you all night long. I didn't mean for this to happen to you. I'm so sorry this happened to you. Daniel said, it's all good. Even the king, a heathen king, said, Daniel, I believe in you so much, your God's going to deliver you. Daniel said, I know. What time's breakfast? When you have a consistent, excellent attitude, you know your God is able to deliver. Second, he was consistent in his performance. The Bible says in verse number 4, he was a faithful man. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to your word? Do you keep your word? Are you faithful to your spouse? Are you faithful to your children? Are you faithful to your work? Are you faithful in your tithe and in your offering? Are you faithful to your church attendance? Are you faithful in the community to be a good citizen? Just some questions. He took his assignment seriously. He was a trustworthy man, so much so that his credibility, his street cred, caused him to be elevated above even those who should have gotten the promotion. I'll save that for another time. Number three, he was consistent in his purity. Verse 4 says, neither was there any error or fault found in the man. The highest officials couldn't find a flaw in him. And guess what? He was 80 years old. Pastor, I'm too old. No, you're not. Daniel was 80. Keep on living right. It'll pay off. When Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, had a group of men that came to him, other preachers came to him and said, listen, they started threatening him and they said, we're gonna tell reporters this and we're going to tell people that and this and that. And they threatened him if he didn't do what they said, they would ruin his reputation. This is what the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, said. He said, write all you know about me across the heavens. Can somebody write it all across the heavens and you not want to duck out? Come on, somebody. That's a pure conscience right there, wouldn't you say? He was consistent in his prayer life. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, the Bible says. What's the key to summarizing the life of Daniel? Please get this right here. It's all the way back in chapter number 1. Now, we've been studying chapter 1 through 6 right here. Things are about to change. This history of Daniel has given us how we should live in 2021. Get this. Verse 21 of chapter 1, and Daniel continued. Look at your neighbor and tell him, and Daniel continued. And Daniel continued. What's the point to that? Daniel continued through Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel continued through Darius, and Daniel continued right on through Cyrus, and he continued through 6 other administrations. Outlived king after king, Belshazzar, all of them. All chapters 1 through 6 give us the credibility for what Daniel is about to tell us in chapter 7 through 12. This is important for you to get a hold of. Why? Because if Daniel's life is a portrait of an excellent spirit and a man of God, listen, that you can trust, then the things he's going to say in the subsequent chapters that we're going to study that changes us from historical to prophetic. Are you hearing me? You're going to be able to say, like Daniel and like the king, the heathen king, said, may your God that you serve continually rescue you, because the days ahead are going to get rough. Understand, as I speak right now, there are trillions of dollars that are being added to the national debt. And you've got to be able to say, you know what? Add all you want to. God is going to take care of my life. Because he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Come on, somebody. What happened? The king had a sleepless night. Nothing would soothe him. He put his seal and his signet upon the mouth of the lion's den and couldn't wait till the sun rose the next morning. Inside of that lion's den, Daniel was sleeping. I would say like a little baby, but that couple over there has got twins, and they've told me they ain't sleeping all the time. But after a good dose of melatonin, Daniel laid his head down in the power of the spirit and the mane of one of those lions, and they didn't even jump up to grab a hold of him. You know his secret? Way back in chapter number 1, he said, I will not defile myself with the king's table. He wouldn't eat the king's food and he wouldn't drink the king's wine. So I'm just going to tell you, there are certain restaurants you go into that if you eat whatever it is in there, you will smell like that the rest of the day. Come on, somebody. Your car, you'll be the next day getting a car and say, well, I know what I had. Cheeseburger, bacon. Come on, somebody. Onions, garlic. Because it protrudes. Get this picture. Because Daniel kept his diet according to God's word. And all the rest, you got to know there was a bunch of other people thrown into that lion's den before Daniel ever arrived there, and the lions consumed them. So, I mean, they wouldn't have said toss them into the lion's den unless they knew the lions were going to eat them up. But when they threw Daniel in there, as opposed to everybody else who was eating the scraps, even the lions themselves eating the scraps off the king's table, they knew the rich garlic. They knew all of the smells and all of that food that was coming off of the king's table. And then they throw down into that lion's den a guy who has been eating chickpeas, some hummus, come on, somebody, some Holy Ghost beanie weenies in there. And when they threw him down in there, the lion said, you know what else they smelled? The Bible says, I'm about to preach right now. The Bible says, there encampeth around about them that fear the Lord, the angels of heaven. So when Daniel went down into the lion's den, and the lions took one whiff of him and said, he don't smell like something we want to eat. And then they said, there's something every time we lurch toward him, there is a wall, God help me. You know whose wall that was? That was Job's wall. Because whenever the devil tried to take Job out, he said, I can't touch him because you got something, a hedge that's all around him. I tell you, when you go on your job tomorrow and wherever you go, God has got a hedge around about those that fear the Lord, and the devil can't do a thing about it. Somebody ought to give God praise. Come on, Michael. Why? Spurgeon's explanation was that the lions would not have enjoyed eating Daniel because he was 50% grit and 50% backbone. According to verse 23, there was no wound found on Daniel when the king came the next morning and said, Daniel, oh, Daniel, how is it with you down there? He said, oh, king, live forever. It's all good. Let's go to the Waffle House and get some eggs and grits. One little girl said in her Sunday school class after studying Daniel in the lion's den, she said, the lion of the tribe of Judah was down there with Daniel. Ladies and gentlemen, verse 28 concludes this chapter by saying, so this Daniel prospered, watch this, so that God could be glorified. Why are you going to face some things of hardships and difficulties coming up ahead? I'll tell you why. So God can show you as a trophy. He can get the glory. I'm just going to tell you, folks, I have in my spirit an expectation that God is going to show himself with signs, wonders, and miracles, not because he needs to convince us, but because that world out there needs to see the manifestation of the genuine power of God. Not fake, not phony, not fraud, but the real power of God. How many of you would say, Pastor, that's what I want to see happen inside of this house?
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you and help you in your walk with the Lord. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, paceassembly.org, and we'll be glad to get you the information, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and we'll be glad to correspond with you. We want to thank you for joining us each day at this same time. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.